The question was asked, when we read the Torah and we see the punishment for rape and seduction, so it certainly gives us the feeling at first glance as though the punishment for rape is light. Is that really the case? Is it equal to the punishment for seduction? What's going on here? So let's understand a little bit better. At first glance, it seems like it's the same. It says that if someone seduced a girl, a virgin, so then he gets taxed the weight of 50 silver coins. And the same is true if he rapes her. Okay? So that's at first glance. Let's move forward a little bit. I'm going to go forward in the Rambam. I'm skipping a little bit. The girl who was seduced does not want to marry the guy, so then they don't have to get married. So then he only pays the tax of 50 coins. If she does want to marry him, even though he does not, he is forced to marry her. And he has a biblical mitzvah. It doesn't matter if she is limp. If she wants to marry him, again, in seduction, I'll read and translate the Rambam. Hamfutesh rotza leinaseh, if she doesn't want to marry him when she's seduced, o shelo ratzahu lichnos, or if he doesn't want to marry her, so then he pays her the tax and goes, because they both agreed. Meaning it was seduction, but bottom line, she agreed, she consented. So then he pays the tax, and they can walk away. Meaning he can only marry her if they both agree. They don't force him to marry her. But a woman who was raped, a girl who was raped, who does not want to marry the guy, okay, so then she doesn't have to. But if she does want to marry him, if she says, no, I'm never going to marry anyone else, then even if he doesn't want to marry her, he is forced to marry her and pay her the tax, and he must remain married to her and take care of her as her husband. It doesn't matter if she is lame, and if he raped a girl that's crippled, he has to take full care of her, pay all her medical bills. If she's blind, if she has a skin disease, and he says, I'm scared, we tell him, tough luck, you must marry her. If she wants it, you got yourself into this, that's it. And he may never divorce her, unless she wants it. The Torah says, lo yuchal shalecha kol yamav, he may never divorce her. So that's number one. That's a big difference between seduction and rape. In rape, number one is, the halacha says, if she wants to marry him, which will happen, because very often today, most rape happens with people that women know. And it can be that afterwards she says, look, no one else is going to want to marry me, and he's not that bad a guy. He lost control. I want him. That's it. He put me through eight. I'm not willing to continue. You see that with Avshalom. Avshalom, I can't. We're just short on time. 5 minutes, I got to go. With Amnon and Tamar. So Tamar, after he rapes her, she tells him, how could you send me away now? And he kicks her out of the house. So you see that after the rape, she says, I've been violated. At least take care of me now. So we have to understand that things were not the same then as they are today. And the Torah gave her tremendous power over him, where she can say, you're going to have to take care of me for life now after that. Now, next. Give me 1 second.
I'm saying that law is just better today, wouldn't be that bad. No, the victim is bad, she got raped.
No, I'm saying for the victim, though, it seems to be kind of
good. The one who seduced the girl, that's what I want to get to the next laws. I'm going to the next chapter in the Rambam. The one who seduced the girl must pay her, aside from the tax, he also has to pay her boshet, the shame that he caused her, and pagam, the whatever he caused her to lose. But the rapist also has to pay for tsar. He also has to pay her for her pain. So that's why the one who was seduced, there was no pain, she agreed. But the one who was raped, he has to pay tachat asher ina. That's why I'm saying, when you look at the tax and you say they're equal, they're not equal. Because on top of the tax, he also has to pay for her pain. So the he also has to pay for her shame. He also has to pay for her pagam, what she lost by it. So that's why I'm saying the view of saying it's all the same, well, that's not so clear. The halacha goes into how much do you have to pay for her shame? Well, it depends on who he is and who she is. And that's evaluated, and the courts can evaluate that. Pagam, the devaluement, well, that depends on her beauty. You know, it could be that beforehand, before he violated her, so in her level of beauty, she could have gotten a dowry of 5 million. And now, you know, she won't be able to get that. He's going to have to pay all of that. So the tax is only a minimal part. The pain is also evaluated. Depends on what, you know, we evaluate her pain also. The halacha goes into how you evaluate that. So that's why when you look at it and you say they're equal, they're not really equal. And the final point we have to remember is that the courts have a responsibility, the courts or the king, to ensure that things are running properly. So if the courts have a feeling that this is going to cause more improper behavior, or this guy is taking advantage of this light tax, meaning let's say he's a millionaire, and to him it's no big deal to pay all this money, so then the courts might kill him. Meaning this is the minimum he's going to have to pay. If the courts feel that to him this is a light punishment, they could give him lashes, they could beat him to death, they could do a lot of things to him. I'm saying when the Torah gives him this punishment, the Torah is saying this is the minimum he has to pay. There's the tax, which is on top of all the other payment. On top of paying for her pain, on top of paying for her shame, on top of paying for her devaluement, however that's going to be evaluated. So that's, and on top of that, the tax. So that's why it's not equal. I'm saying the ones is really going to pay a lot more than the mfateh. Plus, he is stuck with her. If she wants him to marry her, he can never divorce her. He's with her for life. So that's why it's not accurate. I'm saying they're not equal, and the punishment is severe. And again, if the court, for whatever reason, feels he doesn't take it seriously enough, or society doesn't take it seriously enough, even if he does, even if for him it's going to put him in debt and make him bankrupt, but everyone else isn't going to take it seriously enough, then the Tosefta and Tractate Sanhedrin tells us that the courts have killed in instances like that, where they felt like if this guy would get away with it, who knows what would happen next. So even though technically he doesn't deserve the death penalty, the court can say, yeah, but for this time, this hour, and the society's needs are that he gets a death penalty, and then he'll get it. So that's what I'm saying. It's a minimum, this punishment. It's not a maximum.